I am sure virtually all listeners to this commentary are disgusted by Trump as he holds hundreds of thousands of federal workers hostage to his demand for $5 billion to build part of his wall on the southern border. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be much any of us can do. Yes, we can write letters to members of Congress and our senators urging support for the efforts to reopen the government without appropriating anything for Trump's bogus wall. Yes, we can, if we live in a state or district represented by a Republican, join a local indivisible group to pressure those Republicans to stand up to Trump and vote like patriots instead of marching off the cliff with him like automaton soldiers. We can also get involved in political campaigns, either for Senate or the presidency, aiming at the 2020 elections. But all of these, no matter how important, have a long time horizon. Meanwhile, tenants in Section 8 housing will be in danger of eviction. Government workers will be missing paychecks. Food stamp recipients will be in danger of losing benefits. So far, the individuals directly affected by the shutdown seem to be the only ones who are truly enraged. Too many of our fellow citizens can turn away and say, "Not my problem." Some may even have bought the anti-government rhetoric that suggests that government workers have it easier than the rest of us. Certainly, we have heard pundits, especially on the U.S. version of Soviet-era Radio Moscow, alias Fox News, that government workers have better pensions than the rest of us, have cushier jobs than the rest of us, etc., etc. That divide-and-conquer tactic worked in states like Wisconsin that stripped union rights from government workers. Too many private sector workers failed to stand in solidarity with their government employee brethren, and Governor Scott Walker beat back a recall effort and then won re-election in 2014. I believe it is time to see if the rest of us will now stand together with the government workers affected by the shutdown, as well as with those people whose benefits will be affected. It is time to embrace solidarity, the most important word in any struggle. I propose to the leaders of civic organizations, religious organizations, political organizations, and very specifically, I propose to organize labor to publicly proclaim that they are collecting millions of dollars nationwide to be used as a strike fund to support all TSA workers, the first line of defense against terrorists who choose to call in sick rather than continue to work for free. We need to loudly proclaim support for TSA workers who refuse to subsidize Trump's shutdown with their unpaid labor. If enough TSA workers do not show up for work, airlines will have to start canceling flights. If people not directly affected by the shutdown have not yet been moved to demand that the government reopen, perhaps a few canceled flights will concentrate their minds. It would be difficult for TSA workers to do this on their own. If it actually appeared they were organizing the sick outs, they might be subject to sanctions for engaging in illegal strike activity, which would cost them their jobs. Back in 1981, Ronald Reagan earned high marks for breaking the air traffic controller strike, setting the stage for decades of aggressive anti-labor activity from management. I think Trump would be hard-pressed to go after TSA workers, especially if they were backed by a large pre-existing strike fund publicly supported by organized labor and lots of civic groups.